Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, down to verse 6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for the which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. In these verses 2-6, we come now to a new and concluding paragraph in this epistle of the mystery of Christ. So our text then, verses 2-6, is really the closing part of the teaching and instruction and theology of the epistle. The division of the epistle is simple, it's threefold. In chapter 1, verses 1-2, we have the salutation of the apostle, the salutation that he gives to the believers at Colossae, Paul identifying himself and addressing them with an opening benediction. And then we have the substance of the epistle. That's from verse 3 of chapter 1 down to verse 6 of chapter 4. And that deals with the heart of what is the mystery of Christ, that wonderful and glorious person, and what he has done, and how we should live in the light of that. The substance of the epistle is taken up with that. And then the third and the final division contains these personal commendations and greetings that Paul wants to send with the letter. So how then does the bulk of the epistle end? Well, you can see here, it ends with this direction to prayer, with a call to prayer. And I mainly want to speak about prayer today. But I do want you to understand that prayer is not the main theme in this paragraph in itself. There is another major theme. In fact, the major theme, probably in this paragraph, the text, verses 2-6, form a unit. A unit that Paul has carefully sewed together with the careful use of the repetition of certain words. So it's not two paragraphs, as if verses 2-4 were one paragraph, and then verses 5-6 were another paragraph, one about prayer and one about our walk. It really is a literary unit. And the unifying thread is speech, utterance, what you are to talk about. And Paul wants to be able to speak, and so he requests prayer, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And an important key in being able to speak mightily and powerfully is prayer. So he requests prayer for his utterance. Another important key to this speaking is not only prayer, but also our walk. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And so this is about Paul being able to speak, about the people of God being able to speak, being able to give an answer to those outside, to the unconverted, to the unsaved. That's really what this paragraph is about. And at the heart of this paragraph lies the words, the mystery of Christ. If there were only some words that you could underline in this text, it would be the words, to speak the mystery of Christ. That's the heart. Now, I know that you could underline so much more. There are many important words in this unit. But that is the heart. That's the center. Speak the mystery of Christ. That's what God wants. That's what the apostle wants. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ wants. That's what believers should want. To hear the speech concerning the mystery of Christ, and to be able to speak that speech. And that's what this whole epistle has been doing, you see. It's been opening up, it's been explaining and expounding the mystery of Christ, the marvel of his person and his work, the wonder of his rich grace, the power of the blood of the cross that we read about within its verses, the glory of him who is the image of the invisible God, who is the creator of all things, who in all things has the preeminence, in whom dwells all the fullness, the marvel of Christ in you. In you who are unworthy, in you who are fallen sons and daughters of Adam, sinners far off, but now Christ in you. The mystery of Christ. Being able to talk about that. Being able to tell that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you, him in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. In you. And all of that we have gone through in the study of this epistle, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of his circumcision, the mystery of his baptism, the mystery of his cross with those ordinances all nailed to it, to be able to speak that, to be able to tell of that, to be able to give answer concerning that. That's what these closing verses are about. And prayer is an important element in that. And so Paul is concerned about the prayer life of the Colossians. And well, he might be. The believer ought to have a prayer life. And that ought to be first. In order to pray about your speaking, you have to have a prayer life. You have to be primarily a speaker to God before you could possibly be a powerful preacher and speaker to others. And you ought to speak to God first and mainly before you speak to others, before you give an answer to others. You have to be a praying saint. It is interesting that the apostle ends the bulk of this epistle the way that he started it. You remember, it was quite a while ago now, way back whenever we were in chapter 1, but we saw then that he started it with prayer. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And so here he's telling at the start, Paul is telling them about his prayer life. He's telling the Colossians that he is always praying for them. That's what he says, praying always for you. Continually. He told them about the day that he started praying for them. The day we heard of your faith in Christ. Verse 4. And again there in verse 9, He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, since the day we heard of your conversion to Christ, since the day we heard of your being brought into the knowledge of the doctrine of the mystery of Christ, since the day we heard that, we do not cease to pray for you. We continue to pray for you always." He tells them that he prays all the time for them. He tells them when he commenced praying, the day that he heard, and he tells them even what he is praying for them, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of the Lord, that they might increase in the knowledge of God, that they might be strengthened with all the divine might, and have all patience and joyfulness in the Lord. That's how he commenced this epistle, in revealing his prayer life for them. And now he closes it by asking that they pray for him, that they would reciprocate it, that they would mirror him, and as he has prayed for them continually, he asks that they would continue in prayer for him. And so you see how Paul carefully links this theme of prayer at each end of the substance of his epistle, closing it all in the mystery of Christ, the doctrine of the Savior, closing it all in with this matter of continual prayer, tying the epistle of the mystery of Christ up with the call to prayer. You see then how important it is to pray when the apostle is doing this. You see how important it is not only to pray, but to pray for one another. "Praying for us," he says. That's very important, child of God, that we pray for one another. And when someone prays for you and they tell you that they pray for you, you thank them. Say thank you and value that. That is the best thing that they could do for you. If they do that heartily and sincerely, it is better than giving you money. So value that. But also mirror that. Reciprocate that. Pray for them as they also pray for you. And so Paul is teaching us this. James, in church history, was known as a man of prayer. That is, James, who wrote that epistle, James of Jerusalem. He is said to have done all his praying on his knees. And it is said his knees were like the knees of a camel because of that. And he has told the Christians at Jerusalem that they are to confess their faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. This is important. It's stressed by the Apostle James. Pray for one another. James also appreciates the value of a good man's prayers, because he adds, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's why you should pray for one another, because if righteous men are praying for one another, that's going to have mighty effects. It's effectual praying whenever righteous men pray for one another. And so we should pray for one another. And that's what the apostle here is asking. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Now, why does Paul say this? Why is he back to this matter of prayer again? And the very easy and simple answer to that is because he knows the importance of prayer. He knows the value of it. He knows that also we need this exhortation because he knows the flesh. He knows the power of Satan. He knows that we are remiss in this very thing. He knows that the church can fail here. And that is why he is bringing this up again. And that is why he uses those words, continue and watch. This is a thing you have to watch in your life. This is a thing you have to watch about. This is a thing you have to continue in, not cease, not grow weary in. He knows this. He knows this is a battle. And so these are the words to further underline. Continue. Watch. Do you hear the Lord today, child of God? Continue. Don't give up. Watch. Be vigilant. Now remember, this is a prison epistle. In fact, Paul brings it in there, for which I am also in bonds. And so he kind of rattles his chains at this point when he's talking about prayer. He reminds them of this. This was written from Rome. Well, we know that there were other epistles written from Rome also. And one that was written at the same time as this one to the Colossians was that other great epistle called the Ephesians. And he brings that epistle to a close in a similar way as he does the epistle to the Colossians. He has the house address there, as here, dressing wives and husbands and children and parents and servants and masters. And there is a similar call to prayer, winding it all up. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see that? It's a similar idea. Continue, watch, persevere, praying for all the saints, interceding for one another and for me, that this utterance may be given to me, that I may speak boldly, that I may make known the mystery of the gospel. Here's the same idea. Pray for me that I can speak the mystery of the gospel, that I can preach Christ the way I ought, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so you can see the similarities between Ephesians and Colossians. But in Ephesians, there is a paragraph between the home address and the call to prayer, which the apostle doesn't put in here in the epistle to the Colossians. There is something else that he mentions there. There is a reminder of the warfare in the Ephesians. There's a reminder of the devil's devices and of the need for the Christian armor. And that famous passage that we call the Christian armor is there in Ephesians, put between the home address and this call to prayer. That the people of God are to be strong in the Lord, and they're to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he reminds them of the battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the devils. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he goes on to list the armour, the whole armour. And having listed the whole armour, he comes to the last couple of pieces. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And now at that point, he brings in this matter of prayer. At the end, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in Ephesians, he is bringing prayer out as a vital weapon in the warfare, as a vital part of the armour. Mentioned last but by no means least, the importance of prayer in the warfare with Satan. Why does Paul then stress prayer? Because it is the one thing Satan resists with all his might. It's the one thing he seeks to prevent in Christians. And although he doesn't mention Satan in Colossae, in the context here of prayer, in those words, continue and watch, we have hints what he has in the back of his mind. Satan, the adversary, the battle, the strife, the difficulty of this matter. And when we compare with Ephesians, we are right to think that. He has the devil in mind. It's the one thing the devil will want to stop in your life. Prayer. He knows, that is, Satan knows, what prayer can accomplish. Maybe saints fail to realize that. Maybe the children of God have not got a grasp of how valuable, how important, how indispensable prayer is. But Satan knows it. Samuel Chadwick has said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, he mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. That is true. And so he is driving to stop the tide of prayer. And that's why Paul says, look, child of God, continue. And watch in the same. You need to be watchful in this matter. You need to be alert. You need to awake. William Cowper wrote these famous words. What various hindrances we meet in coming to a mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Interestingly, in that poem of Cowper's, he goes on to write about the value of prayer in aiding one to speak well of the Lord. Because another verse goes, were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. Yes, if you pray well, you'll be able to tell about the Lord well. Prayer is a battle, people of God. That's what I want you to learn today. A battle that you must continue in. The battle is prayer. And so this you see whenever Paul says, continue in prayer, watch in prayer. You have to continue. Not cease, but continue. Daily. Don't give up. No, don't give up. Never give up. Watch in the same business. Because there is an adversary who wants to keep you from praying. And I am sure that there are Christians who are hearing this, who need this exhortation today. You have left off praying. You have very much slackened if you have not left it off. Satan has got the better of you. You have not watched. You have not continued. Your hands hang down. Your knees are feeble. Satan has got the better of you. He has gone about like a roaring lion. And he does go about like a roaring lion. And he intends to devour. And the one who he most wants to devour is the praying saint. He wants to eat up prayer warriors. He wants to remove them from the scene. And that's maybe a reason why prayer ceased. The devil has gobbled up your praying. Maybe that's why the prayer meetings are so low in attendance. The devil has gobbled them up. That should be praying. They haven't been vigilant. They haven't been watchful. They haven't continued in the same. And they've been devoured up as far as being prayer warriors is concerned. Oh, child of God, has our prayer life been devoured? We need revived and quickened, don't we? We need to overcome the satanic devices that have driven us from prayer. Because that's how Satan works. He comes and he says to you, you can't pray. You're not holy enough. God wouldn't hear you. You don't even know how to pray. You don't pray like other Christians pray. Or maybe he comes and says, look, here is something else for you to do. Here is something that is more important. Here is something that is easier and more pleasing to your flesh. Or perhaps he may come and say, you can pray later. Later on, but not now. Not now. And so, child of God, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and continue and watch in prayer. The apostle adds, with thanksgiving. This is interesting. Why does he do that? Well, I think it is because whenever you continue and watch in prayer, you will be getting into a position where you're going to have to give God thanks for much. If you continue in prayer and you watch in the same, you're going to get returns, you're going to get answers, you're going to see things happening, you're going to see things different, and you're going to have to give thanks to God. You'll see the value of prayer then when you continue and watch, and you'll be praising the Lord more and more then. If you continue and watch, you'll be doing it with thanksgiving. It is also added because I think that this keeps our prayer life from becoming stale. You know, thanksgiving and praises revive. It does something to the soul. This blessing God, and it includes singing and praise. And I'm sure that you have found that, we have found that if we just spend time in singing a psalm of thanksgiving, just going through the words of thanksgiving, something happens. It revives. It stirs you up. It kind of primes the pump of prayer. And so this is why the apostle adds that very important thought with thanksgiving. This then, child of God, is today's lesson. It is simple, but a battle to put in practice. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same. And especially watch that you pray in Christ's name. That's what Satan hates. Praying in Christ's name. Continually. And always. And watching in the same. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord help you. And help us all to obey unto the Lord Jesus, who alone can give us this grace. Be all the glory. Amen.